world's on fire, our culture's disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
You know, I just noticed something in that intro that, you know, I hear the intro every time it comes on. I hear something different. And the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach. Guess you know something? Holy Spirit makes people nervous. You know, the Holy Spirit especially makes people nervous who don't have the Holy Spirit. Amazing, isn't it? Because, as you know, we've kind of been in this series. We've never really gotten to it, the series that we're doing on the Holy Ghost. And, yeah, I'm going to try to do it. To be honest with you, I'm flying out to, where am I going? Someplace in Idaho tomorrow. So I won't be, first show I've missed, and I don't know how long. I'll be airborne at 6 a.m. But Mark Trump's going to be in, and he's going to be talking about artificial intelligence and what's going on. I'm telling you, you don't want to miss it. We got Mark Taylor today, the prophetic fireman. You're here today. You want to share this with your friends so they can understand exactly what's going on. But I do want to dive back into this Holy Ghost, this Holy Spirit thing, because there are a lot of people who get really, really nervous when you start talking about that stuff. And, man, oh man, I believe the Holy Spirit is live and active, and man, oh man, oh man, oh man, oh man. Crazy times in which we live. I just want to let people know that we are going full bore for the truth here, okay? Full bore. And you look out at what's going on. I've been trying to warn people for a couple weeks now that this whole sex pedophilia, this whole sexual abuse, this whole Harvey Weinstein, all this stuff is designed to try to entrap Donald Trump. That's really what's going on here, folks. If you can't see where this thing's playing out, I don't even know what to tell you. And I believe, I said this earlier, I believe that, excuse me, that Donald Trump should have come out with a full-throated endorsement of Judge Moore, because Judge Moore is going to be one of his best supporters when he gets to Washington, D.C. And he should have come out and embraced Judge Moore and said, you know, listen, boy, I've been accused falsely of stuff, and I think it's wrong. And talk about, but he didn't do it. I think he missed that one. But that's okay. Point I'm trying to make is this, folks. We are in the midst of unbelievable, crazy times that are going on in the world. And if you are trapped inside your little box, your little church, again, Sunday morning yesterday, I was watching some of those Facebook church services. I don't care. You can go to Facebook and you can click on one of those. How did every church come up with the same routine? You open with a prayer, praise and worship songs, take an offering, make announcements, and then the message. Every one of them is the same. And as those of you who listen to our show quite regularly, you understand, I don't mean to beat up on the church. It just happens that I look at the church, it's like watching the NCAA selection thing yesterday, thinking, what's going on here? How can we be so messed up? So that's where we are. I love the body of Christ. The question I'm asking is, what is the body of Christ? I'm the part of it. And a guy who popped into national prominence about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago now, I guess it was, Mark. He's been on with us before. Mark Trump's just a simple old fireman, retired fireman maybe. I don't know, Mark. Keep up with your status. Just an old fireman. Just an old fireman that the Holy Spirit's inside of him, the Holy Spirit speaks to. And He says what he sees and what he hears from the Spirit of God, and he throws it out there. And people, hey, Mark, I got to tell you something. I made so many enemies about a year and a half ago when I came out boldly for Donald Trump. I saw something. I don't know whether people didn't see it. I lost friends. They called me a sellout. They said I wasn't righteous. They said all this stuff. And I just kept saying, listen, this guy is a bouncer at a bar. We're wrestling not against flesh and blood. And I think our pastors are too soft. The last thing we need in the White House was a pastor, a guy, soft pastor. And when I came across what you were saying about Trump, it witnessed my heart. And brother, here we are a year later. Mark, give us a little, let's look at the films a little bit, Mark, over the last year. What do you think? What the heck is going on? By the way, thanks for joining us this morning. I know you're a busy guy. What's going on, Mark?
Well, thanks for having me, first off. Let's go back to the church thing you were just talking about here, where churches do the same thing over and over and over again. That's called being in a rut. And the root word for rut is actually means grave.
Mm.
So that's what's going on with that. But what the heck's going on in the United States right now? You know, I got one word for everybody. It's called God. That's what's going on in the United States right now. God is cleaning house right now. And it is an amazing time to sit back and watch. Now, God gave a couple of prophetic words. And
so, Mark, hang on a second, Mark.
Yeah.
Mark, you're just a guy, right?
You haven't
been to seminary. You haven't had a whole bunch of training.
Nothing.
You're just a dude, huh?
I'm just a dude, man. I did 20 years on the job as a firefighter, third generation firefighter. I retired in 2006. And, you know, I've never been to seminary. I've never been to Bible college. I don't have a degree of any kind hanging on my wall. I'm just an everyday, ordinary guy. That's it. That has yielded himself over to the Lord Jesus Christ to use in whatever capacity he wants. And me and about 7 billion other people. And I did an interview last night, and this guy says, you know, I know you've been asked this probably a million times, but he says, why did God choose you? And I said, you know what? I don't know, because there's 7 billion other people on this planet he could have chosen. I have no clue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he could have chosen anybody. God can work through anybody he wants.
Maybe you're the only one who was obedient to do it, huh, Mark?
I don't know. I have no clue. But, you know, what is going on in the United States right now?
Yeah, there you go. I interrupted you, man. That. Sorry.
That's all right. There's a lot of chaos going on right now. And here's the way we kind of like to put it. When you remodel a house, you go through different phases of remodeling a house. And remodeling that house, part of that is the demolition phase. That's where we're in right now. And in the demolition phase right now, it can get nasty. It gets dirty. There's a lot of work to be done. And it can even be dangerous at times. So that's where we're at. We're in this demolition phase right now that God's bringing us through in America to help clean up this corruption right now. So that's what you're seeing going on right now. And the thing is about Donald Trump. Donald Trump is a bull in a china shop, which is what it's going to take. It's going to take a heavy hand in order to deal with this corruption, the evil that's going on right now. I think the last number I heard, somebody can correct me if I'm wrong, we're close to 5,000 sealed indictments right now at this point, or we're bumping the 5,000.
Is that really true, Mark? I mean, I hear that all the time. You think that's really true?
Yes, I do think that's true, because I've also got some inside sources of the military that are telling me the same thing, that they're hearing the same thing. The National Guard is being put on alert right now, because I believe, and I've been saying this for a long time, that when they go to arrest these guys, there could be some issues that arise as far as, you know, civil disturbances and stuff like that. Nothing to be worried about. God's on the throne. He's in control. You know, God.
So Mark, I tell everybody, listen, reconstruction is always more difficult than new construction.
That's right.
This is exactly what you're saying.
Right.
We have to go in there and rip out. We just did a lot of work down in Port Arthur with the flood area down there, and had to go in and rip all that drywall out of there, pull all of that insulation out of there, get all that old junk that had been wicked. Had to get all of that out before we could ever begin the possibility of rebuilding it. So when you talk about draining the swamp, hey, Mark, imagine what it's going to look like when that swamp is drained, and all the stuff that we're going to look around, that's going to be ugly, isn't it? And so it's going to have to be a lot of cleaning up that's going to take place.
Absolutely. I know this is not a surprise that this stuff was coming. God told us this stuff was coming. I mean, God gave me a prophetic word back in 2015, October 13th, and it says, don't be deceived, get in the fight. And it talked about God was going to take down the Clintons and Obama. So you're seeing that taking place right now. Now, people get impatient. We live in this microwave society, especially Christians. They want everything right now. And it's like, look, it's going to take time to put together these cases. It takes time to put them together. I would rather take a little bit longer and put these cases together, because I don't want someone like Hillary Clinton or Obama. I don't want these guys walking on a technicality, period.
Mm.
So we've got to be patient. Trust me, she will go to jail, and it will be a sign to the United States that that spirit called Jezebel will be locked up and the key thrown away.
Amen.
So, but there is going to be a ton of this stuff going down. Now, right before the election, the Lord started dealing with me on military style tribunals. Because this corruption goes so deep, so wide, and so long that it's going to take military-style tribunals to deal with these treasonous acts that are being committed right now in the United States. So you're going to see a ton of people go down right now.
So, Mark, you know, Mark, people say, gosh darn it, what is Jeff Sessions doing? We need to fire Jeff Sessions. He's letting all this stuff go on.
Right.
And I'm sitting back and I'm wondering, Mark, is something deeper going on that is making Jeff Sessions look like he's stupid when, in fact, is he playing his cards quietly, keeping his Trump cards hidden? What's your take on Jeff Sessions?
You know, it can go either one or two ways. One, he's either, like you said, he's kind of sitting back and he's not doing his job, or he's being very smart about it, which Trump is very smart. He's 10 steps ahead of everybody. And, you know, he's putting their enemy at ease until they drop the hammer.
Mm-hmm.
Because believe me, there's stuff being done behind the scenes right now that we don't even know about right now. I mean, you're going to see people that are going to get rounded up, that are going to blow your mind. Look, this is even going to come into the midterm elections, brother. This is going to go. I believe the midterm elections right now will probably be the biggest turnover in American history. One, because people are sick and tired of what's going on and they're going to get voted out. Number one. Or number two, there's going to be a lot of vacancies up there right now because of these indictments that are going on right now. So, you know, a good business to be in right now would be in the underwear selling business in Washington, D.C., because you got to make a lot of money.
Mark, do you think the whole pedophile thing, is that real? Is that as deep as what they tell us it is?
I think it's actually bigger than what they're saying it is. I think the pedophilia and the child cult or the child sacrifice thing, I think it is absolutely huge. It's going to boggle the mind when they find out and start digging. That's the other thing that's going on, Coach, is I'm telling people you need to put your seatbelts on, you know, strap in, get ready for the ride, because this is going to be going on for years, these military-style tribunals. So they're going to make Nuremberg look like a cakewalk because there's so many people involved. This is going to go worldwide. And look what happened in Saudi Arabia. This is not just about America. This is about the entire earth. Who would have thought for a minute that Saudi Arabia would have taken down 19 of their princes or whoever they are over there and killed two of them, one in a chopper crash and one in a gunfight?
So this is there's nothing. What's it say? Nothing shaking that can't be shaken that will not be shaken.
That's right. That's right.
So Mark, as you look at this then, because this is where I got in trouble with a lot of my friends when I came out so hard for Trump. I didn't come out for Donald Trump because I thought he was a righteous man. I came out for Donald Trump because I thought he was exactly what you said, this bull in the china shop, shaking up, not a company guy. But, Mark, you hear all the time from people who say, you know, I was watching one last night. And look at that. He's always using that devil signal. He's always flashing his hands like he's a deep stater. He's inside. He's a Mason. He's
in the Illuminati. He's in this. Yeah, he's in that.
Help us there, bud. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's a bunch of garbage myself. I just think it's people with conspiracy theories that are looking for something that's not there. It's no different than the mainstream media. You know, they're looking for stuff that's not there.
I think it's a lot of people. I hate to say this, Mark. It's a lot of people who were wrong about him, and they still want to be right about him. So they're hoping they're hoping he's connected. They're hoping. Did you see the reaction of Joy Behar the other day when the word came down on Michael Flynn? I don't know if you saw that. If not, you ought to watch that 3-minute clip where she thought Trump had colluded with the Russia. It's unbelievable. So Mark, you're talking about reconstruction and new construction and stuff being torn apart. Why, Mark, from your standpoint, brother, why would God even give a flip about the good old U.S. of A, where we slaughter so many babies and our sewers are full of pornography and all this stuff? You know, because you run into a lot of those defeatist Christians who say, well, you know, we're going to win in the end. But, oh, man, this is what it's all just going to get worse and worse and worse. And that's what the Lord told us it was going to be. And Mark, how could the Lord possibly sweep in and restore or whatever, clean up this filth bit we have?
Well, let's go back to what a lot of Christians are saying right now, which, you know, it really saddens me because they're caught up in the doom and gloom messages. And you can get addicted to doom and gloom. Now, I'll use a prime example, Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck started off on a righteous path, exposing people, George Soros. I mean, he was doing a fantastic job. But somewhere down the line, he got addicted to it. And you can get addicted to Satan's frequency, which is what that is, the doom and gloom. And I tell people, stop listening to the news media. Stop listening to this stuff on YouTube a lot of times, these doom and gloomers, because you can become addicted to it. You need to be attached to heaven's frequency because it will stop you from hearing the voice of God. So it's just incredible because people cannot fathom that. I got blasted for that. You know, the Lord didn't say to go out and preach an apocalyptic end time message. He said, go out and preach the good news. There's nothing good about doom and gloom. You know,
I wrote
a prophetic word talking about this very thing, that these guys who are preaching these doom and gloom messages out there right now, they're not saving lives anymore. They're taking them, Coach, because I get the emails. I get emails from people saying, Mark, I can't take the doom and gloom in the mainstream media anymore. I can't take the doom and gloom in the church anymore. And I was literally fixing to commit suicide. And I heard your message of hope and didn't do it and rededicated my life to Christ. This has happened more than once. So the problem is people are stuck in the past. What worked in 50 years ago with these doom and gloom apocalyptic messages, fear-based, trying to get people into the kingdom, does not work anymore.
Well, Marcy, we've become so exclusive in the church, really, really exclusive. And so we go inside this stained glass fortress and we pray to the Lord and we ask for his blessings. And then we walk outside of the church and we become secret service agents. When the Lord said, go ye into all the world, right?
Right.
The gospel of Jesus Christ, teaching them to observe all I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the age. And we walk outside of our churches and we have no heart for evangelism. We don't believe that God is able to move and do anything mighty in our midst. And it has become doom and gloom. And I believe I center it at this whole idea of this dispensational teaching that we're soon all going to be out of here. And if everybody's made a mess. And so we didn't going to get any better. So we'll all get out of here. And because of that, we're not doing anything at all to try to restore it. So Mark, right. if we have, there's nothing worse as a football coach, right, brother? If I was in the locker room at halftime, if I was in the locker room at, pregame, if I was in the huddle in the last 2 minutes and I heard our football team talking about how this ain't going to work, we're never going to work. We practiced it, but these other guys are just too good. And, you know, my dad was saying this is how it's going to happen. My dad said that we didn't have a good enough coach. My dad told me that, you know, that other team is just, it's just all the way it's going to. Mark, I'd grab him by the face mask and I'd drive him out of the huddle. And beat him to a pulp over on the side. Well, I wouldn't do that. But you get what I'm saying, right? Yeah, I wouldn't let that negativity in the middle of our huddle when we're trying to win a fight. And
that's right.
It's
called the defeatism mentality is what it's called. Defeatism mentality.
Sir.
And it's like a cancer. It'll spread like wildfire. And the problem is that when you have an escapism mentality, that's exactly what the enemy wants. And most of the church has an escapism mentality. Oh, what's the use? Because they've heard these doom and gloom messages for so long. We've only got 3 years left. I hear this all the time. I don't know where these people are getting these numbers from. You know, the Lord came to me one day and he says, you know, we're in the year 5778 now. And he says, Mark, it took me 6 days to build the earth, you know, to build the universe. He said, you know, the Bible talks about how one day is of 1,000 years to the Lord. So 6 days is 6,000 years, basically. So we still got 200 something years left. So when the Lord says, hey, I'm coming soon, you're right. He's a day and a half in his time. He's coming soon, guys. You only got a day and a half left. Better get ready. You know what I mean?
It's all relative, isn't it?
It's all
there's
relative.
No time. There's no time where he is, right?
Right.
But the
other part of that, that escapism mentality comes the judgment mentality, where they feel like America needs to burn. Now,
there you go.
Who on earth in their right mind as a Christian, as a child of God, when God says, I wish that none perish, would want to see your country burn, period. It's like there's something wrong with someone. It's like, has your love truly grown that cold? Now, I'm a firefighter. I'm third generation. I have a rescue mentality. So it's like, Lord, grant us some more time where we can go get these people.
Yes, sir.
Where we can
go
rescue these people, pull them out of this fiery furnace. But this is not what half the church is doing. They're too busy listening to doom and gloom. They want the escapism mentality. They're fighting over whether it's pre, post, or mid. I got news for people.
My dad can beat up your dad. That's what it is, Mark. You're going to get in the end. My dad can beat up your dad. That's the way I see it playing out here, brother.
Yeah, everybody says, oh, are you pre, post, or mid? Well, here's my answer to that. I don't care. I'm none of the above. How's that? That's my answer, because Jesus said to occupy till I come.
Oh, man. Hey, listen, guys. Mark, you said something. By the way, Mark, I'm going to ask you a question. Jared, find Revelation 22 real quick. I want people to see this. Hey, Mark, tell me this because we've been trying to do a little bit of an expose or teaching a discussion about the Holy Spirit. Mark, how do you hear from the Lord, Mark? I mean, does he call you on the phone? Does he tap on your door? Because Mark, listen, I believe that there are millions, I'm telling you, millions of Christians who don't recognize the Holy Spirit. They don't recognize the Holy Spirit. How does the Holy Spirit speak to you, Mark?
You know, it's really strange because it depends. I've written about 15 prophetic words now at this point. And when I sit down and write these things, there's only been maybe two, three at the most that I've sat down and penned out all at once. And the Trump prophecy was one that I did that with. Other than that, you know, Jeremiah talks about it's like a fire burning in his bones. And until he got the word out, that's what he felt in his bones, basically. It was like this fire that was burning. For me, it's like this pressure buildup. And a lot of times what happens with this is that I'll start meditating on something. The Lord starts poking me. It's like, hey, pay attention. I got something for you.
Amen.
You know what I mean? So then now I start meditating on it. Well, I start meditating on it. The Lord starts filling in the blanks. So a lot of times what will happen is I'll start taking notes. I'll start taking bullet points, basically. This may take 2 or 3 weeks, Coach. And so this pressure begins to build. It builds and builds until finally, when I'm taking enough of these bullet points, I can't take it anymore. I know it's time to sit down and actually write the word out. So then I start writing the word out. And then the Lord will say, no, shift this here, shift this there.
Because amen.
In a way, a certain flow, he wants it to flow. I'll sit down and type it out. When I go to type it out, sometimes he'll edit something and say, no, take that out. You know, that might not be of me, so to speak. You know, that might be Mark Taylor, not the Lord, so to speak. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That's when I'm really testing the spirit, so to speak. So that's for me, for the written prophetic word, is how I hear it. Now, everybody thinks the Lord comes in this great, big, booming voice. Well, it's Job 33 most of the time. You know, he comes in the middle of the night because we live in this fast-paced society because we can't get off of these things long enough to hear the voice of God. So he's got to knock us out in the middle of the night and give us a dream in order for us to hear him. So, you know, you can the five natural senses that you have in the spiritual. You can smell God's voice. You can hear God's voice. You can see God's voice. You can hear it. So, I mean, you've got all these things that people say, well, I never hear the voice of the Lord. Yeah, you do, because he's speaking to you every minute of the day. But you
amen, brother.
You don't perceive it. It's Job 33. You don't perceive it.
Mark, listen, I tell people, pray without ceasing. Now, come on, dude. What? How can you do that? How can you do that? Well, here's how you do that, see. Prayer isn't merely me sitting over in a corner and covering my head and me getting into a dialogue and telling the Lord everything that's going on and what I want him to do and all. Prayer is dialogue. It's dialogue. Yes. The scripture says, my sheep hear my voice. And Mark, I don't know about you. When the Holy Spirit speaks to me, I quicken. It's like, I tell everybody, it's like he pokes me on the chest. Yeah. And I hear that voice. And then when I hear that voice, then I begin a dialogue, right? Lord, what does this mean? Show me what it is. Where can I see this, Lord? What does this mean? It's a dialogue, brother. It's not locking yourself up over in a corner and telling the Lord what you want, what you want him to do.
Right.
This dialogue goes back and forth and back and forth. And once you begin to hear that voice, it's like anything else. You tighten down that frequency and then you hear it more clearly. Why? Because you're used to it, right? I can walk outside my door right now and I can call my dog and he'll come. He hears my voice. He knows my voice. And see, like you said, man, cell phones, Fox News, Rush Limbaugh, all this stuff going on around us. And it's just noise. It's crowding
out. It's what Satan's frequency. You just said it a second ago. It's a frequency that you have to pick up on. And you cannot hear God's frequency, heaven's frequency, when you're tapped into Satan's frequency all the time. Listen to the doom and gloom.
Hey Mark Trump, what do you think about this? Jump in here real quick, Mark Trump, with this frequency and all this stuff. Mark Trump, I don't know if you know him or not, Mark. He is an AI. He's a cyber expert, AI. He's into all that. So what do you think, Mark, about Mark Trump? What do you think here, man, about all this sheep hearing my voice and frequencies and everything?
Well, frequencies, you know, of course, are in the Bible. Whenever they brought the instrument to play, and he evacuated the king of his demons, and then they came back. But that frequency is actually around 400 hertz. So they've done spiritual testing and prayer. They've measured brain on cranial response, and there's something to it, believe it or not. I mean, you can tune into the wrong frequencies for real. And they have actually proven that many of the frequencies in like dance and hip hop and many of these other genres of music hit a frequency that does not generate the same cranial activity.
Amen. Amen. Oh my goodness. Amen. Amen.
So I think, I think the spirit, I think we're down to our cellular construct. We all have energy and frequencies. That frequency can be detected. I think we're all different based on our DNA, and that frequency can be detected, and we have a signature. So I think that that frequency, we interact with each other, and that frequency mixed with the Holy Spirit is something called like a carrier. And if we're Christians, we have a carrier directly to Christ, and then we encode our signature on that and our intelligence. And that's how we communicate with each other through Christ, in my opinion.
Oh man, Mark, I'm sorry. I'm plugged into some frequency right now. Let me throw this right out. See what you think about it. Jared, I know I said Revelation. Let's go to John 2, okay? Folks, listen, I'm going to show you right now what's made Mark Taylor effective. I'm going to show you right now, okay? Are you ready for this? This is not earth-shaking. There's nothing big right here. I'm going to show you something. When you hit the frequency, baby, there's something that you got to do. Are you in John 2 yet there, Jared? Pull it up there for me real quickly. Okay, I'll get it up there on the screen. I don't know if you can get it on your screen there or not, Mark. It's on the screen.
Yeah, I got
and
it.
On the third day, this is a wedding. Here's why Mark Taylor is effective. Okay? Talking about the Holy Spirit now. On the third day, there was a marriage in Canaan of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there, and both Jesus was called. Phone rings and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto them, they don't have any wine. And Jesus said unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? My hour is not yet come. And his mother said unto the servants, here you go. Whatever he says unto you, do it. Now I'm going to tell you something, folks. When you hear from the Lord, Mark Taylor is effective because when that phone rings, he answers and obeys. I'm going to tell you, by the multitude, thousands of you who are listening to this program right now, when the phone rings in your life and you pick it up and you hear from the Holy Spirit, most of you do not do it. You do not obey. And it's obedience. It's obedience. To obey is better than to sacrifice. When Mark Taylor began to write about the prophetic, about Donald Trump, so much going against the flow, he was just doing what the Holy Spirit had told him to do. Whatever he says unto you, do it. Mark, that's your key. You heard and you obeyed. Your reaction on that?
Well, I think what happens is most times is people are not sensitive to God's spirit a lot of times. They think they are, but because they're tapped into a different frequency, is that they're not, you know, for you, it's like God was poking you in the chest. For me, I'm driving down the road the other day, and I'm like, Lord, what was the deal with these hurricanes? Because he starts poking me. Hey, I got something for you here. I said, what was the deal with these two hurricanes? Because if you notice, these two hurricanes hit Florida and Texas, two of the biggest electoral college votes for Donald Trump. Hmm. That's no coincidence. You know, so he was telling me that these things were not generated, but they were steered by man, so to speak, whether it was technology or witchcraft, which we all know witchcraft was behind this.
Amen.
So he says, I said, you know, Lord, Lord, what is it? I said, why would they do this to these two states like this? He said, because it was retaliation for backing out of the Paris Climate Accord. He said it was retaliation because if you notice, the Pope, within 24 to 48 hours after Hurricane Irma hit Florida, he came out and said, see, we told you climate change was for real. And anytime the Pope says something right now, you can forget it. It's for the New World Order right now. So, I mean, basically the bottom line is that you have to listen to what the Holy Spirit's telling you, whether it's just a small prodding, it could be a small poking, whatever the case may be. Begin to meditate. Okay, Lord, what is this? Focus in. That's actually prayer.
Amen.
When you think about it, you're in meditation on the Lord. Okay, Lord, what am I meditating on here? What are you trying to show me? It could be something in nature that he shows you. I had a dream one time, a friend of mine interpreted, said, hey, bottom line was, you and your wife need to be careful. The enemy's trying to come in. Don't argue. Don't do anything right now because the enemy's trying to come in with you guys. And it, my dog was literally in the dream. So me and my wife were right here in this office one day, and we started kind of having words. We weren't arguing. We were kind of having words. My dog never comes into my office, ever, this dog I had. But she came into the office. She stood right between us and looked right at me, and bang, immediately. That dream came to pass. I said, hold it, sweetie. I said, stop. I said, the Lord's just showing me right now. We need to stop right now. Now, did she whiff me a prophecy? No. But God spoke to my dog. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. And folks, I'm going to tell you, the frequency he's talking about is the Holy Spirit. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, it's like you can't listen to FM on AM, all right? You just can't. You just can't do it. You just can't listen to shortwave on your regular right. studio. You can't listen to it in your car. The Holy Spirit is so, so critical. Listen, I want to open the door up and let. Speaking of frequencies, I know, guys, Jared, stay in Revelation. I'm going to come back to that. I'm going to make a point on that. Somebody's got a question or they want to ask Mark. Jump in here right now. Go ahead. Takes me a minute to unmute there, Mark. Hang on. Nobody?
Hey, Mark. This is George. Hey, kind of elaborate, if you would, on what you mean by doom and gloom, because I think some people may be confused on that.
The doom and gloom is basically these apocalyptic messages that we've only got 2 or 3 years left. There are literally people out there saying there's 2 and 3 years left. That's all we got. And the problem is what you're doing is as the army of God, it's like Coach was talking about earlier, this defeatism mentality. You are instilling that defeatism mentality in the people when you tell them those kinds of things. And the Bible clearly says, no man will know the time, period. So why are we even concerned about it? I'm not concerned about it because I'm very mission-oriented. I focus on the mission. What is the mission? To take ground for the kingdom of God and hold it at all costs. I don't care when the Lord comes back because he told me to occupy when he comes. But these doom and gloom messages are literally robbing people of hope. When you rob people of hope, you rob them of the will to fight.
We can't win. There's no way we can win, right?
Yeah, right. It's that whole thing. I actually sat in a church years ago, and I listened to this preacher say, folks, the New World Order is coming. There's nothing you can do about it. You might as well just go ahead and go along with it. I'm like, are you kidding me? There's no way I'm going to go along with this. We beat them back in World War I. We beat them back in World War II. Guess what, folks? We're going to beat them again. These 5,000 indictments, you're going to see a lot of the New World Order come crashing to the ground.
Because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers. Mark, I tell everybody, I speak in football talk, okay? I speak in football talk. There's two teams. You're either on the God's team or you're on the devil's team.
That's right.
You know, it's very, very clear. You either gather or you scatter, right? Well, it says you're either for me or you're against me. Wide and narrow, right? Broad and narrow, I mean. Wide, many and few. It's all throughout the scriptures, Mark. And so as this thing is getting energized at this point in American history, we are seeing that separation very, very clearly. And the thing that is killing God's team right now is God's team believes they're going to lose. How many times do you hear him say over and over and over, well, we win in the end? Now, Mark, you show me anywhere in the scriptures where it doesn't say we win now. We're supposed to be winning now, but this idea that we can't win, when it's all over, we're never going to make the playoffs, we're not good enough, and they're so good, and the devil's been set loose, and he's on a rampage,
I think there's an opening there, for we can understand some truth from God's word. And God's word, you know, he is a just God. And God's word says, if you do these certain things, calamity is going to befall you. And guess what? Mm-hmm. We've been doing those certain things as a nation, not as a true church, but as a false church, they've been doing those things. I'm not a doom and gloomer than I think that we've all hope is lost and everything's going to end in calamity. Now, everything on the face of the earth can end in calamity and all around me, and I can still be a winner.
That's right.
So I'm not doom and gloom in that aspect, but I think my eyes are wide open that this nation has brought upon itself the judgment of God.
Yeah, but we don't know what that's going to look like, though, Larry.
Well,
let me say this real quick. Okay, go ahead real quick.
In Daniel, it talks about the four beasts. Okay, the first one being the lion, and we all agree that that's pretty much England, Great Britain. Okay, which turns into an eagle, which I believe is us, whose wings get plucked. America will still be here, but she will be ineffective. Okay? And, I mean, we cannot ignore, you may think 200 or 300 years based on the years that we have based on the Hebraic year, 57, whatever it is, or 5800, I don't know what it is, but I think it's much sooner than we think, but we cannot ignore the signs that the Lord has given us.
However, Joe, I think we have to be very careful to not live out pre-written history. And I think
exactly, I agree.
I think that's where we get trapped. We don't allow the unique, miraculous intervention of God that His plan may be different than what we see it being. Go ahead, Mark.
It has to do with His timeline. Man has his timeline, which is the New World Order. God has His. If America was truly under judgment right now, He would have allowed Hillary Clinton into the White House, and this thing would have been over with by now. And it's not America that's under judgment. It's the systems that are under judgment and the leadership and the church and the leadership. So there's this stair-step effect that God is doing right now. You know, 2 Chronicles 7:14 said, if my people will humble themselves, it's not America, it's not the heathen, it's my people, God's people. Amen. And what we had was the army of God rose up before November 8th. And we were able to come back and we were able to repent on behalf of the people and the land. And therefore, God says, okay, I've heard the cries of my people. So therefore, I'm going to turn this thing around. So they had a timeline of 2021, 2022 to capture America, basically, and to hold it siege for the New World Order to come in. That has been denied. This is why you're seeing all the chaos. The enemy is pulling out every weapon of his warfare to try to remove Donald Trump, because he's standing in the way of his timeline, of the enemy's timeline. Now, the other thing I want to go back to, and this is going to be very controversial. I'm just that kind of figure. I'm just going to say it like it is. When you start speaking doom and gloom that America needs to burn or America deserves to burn, you are aiding the enemy. You are committing spiritual treason. I wrote a prophetic word on spiritual treason, because when you have the escapism mentality, you're aiding the enemy. I have a new saying. You know, what is it? Get off your behinds and get on the front lines, because get out of that escapism mentality, because we need to be on the front lines right now, because this battle is not over. This battle is just starting.
Mark, can you tell me right now, and everybody's listening out there, okay? I want you to think right now. I don't care what it is. Can you tell me right now, today, any situation in America, let's stay in America, that if the righteous remnant church would arise, any situation right now before us that could not be cured? Can anybody tell me one thing? If God's church, if the real remnant of Christ stood up and began to push back any problem we have that could not be taken care of, can anybody name one?
It could be abortion right now. I'll tell you right now, abortion. It'll be gone. And the reason being is because we have 5 Supreme Court justices that Donald Trump, that God has already told us is coming. And when God reforms the court, He's going to do away. God Himself will take on that case called Roe versus Wade, and it will be gone. Now, why is God doing this? Because the remnant is rising up. You're seeing a mass exodus from the church right now. God gave me a prophetic word. When Donald Trump will be elected, a sign would be given as to who I have selected. And the earth will quake. 4 days after he was elected, Christ Church New Zealand was decimated by an earthquake. It's because there's a shaking and a quaking coming to Christ's church. They were waiting on a tsunami, 2 waves. The first wave, I believe, is already coming in. And that is, the first wave is a mass exodus from the church. The second one, I believe, is going to be a financial collapse of the church, because God's had it with these churches, so to speak. You're going to see some of these mega churches go down. You're going to see the doors close. You're going to see churches collapse. The way we do church is not going to be the same anymore. It's like you said, they're caught in a rut. They're doing the same thing over and over and over again, expecting a different result. It's not working. So you're going to see it in the marketplace. You're going to see it on the street. You're going to see it, that seven mountains, so to speak. So, you're going to see things right now happening that we've never seen before. But we're going through this process right now where the systems that are under judgment,
Amen.
The church is under judgment, the leadership's under judgment, is going to get cleaned out.
Look, when you turn on the news. Go ahead, man.
Look when you turn on the news right now. Some new leader is being accused of something right now. God is bringing it all down. And now what you're going to see happen, I believe. Now, when it comes to the judgment thing, like the gentleman was just talking about a second ago, is that when Roe versus Wade, we have dealt with this thing, I believe, on a national level. Does that mean that we stop repenting? Absolutely not.
The church hasn't dealt with it, though, Mark. The church hasn't dealt with it.
Right. It's the army of God that's dealt with it. It's the church. See, you've got the body of Christ and the army of God. They're two different things. Two totally different things. So when you're talking about the body of Christ, they're under judgment right now because judgment starts in the house of the Lord. But this thing nationally, repentance-wise, I believe that's why we won this thing November 8th. Now it's going to drop down to a state level. So like when Roe versus Wade gets overturned on a national level, it will drop to the states.
Amen.
The states that accept that, I believe the judgment won't fall on some of those states. The states that will keep the abortion, like California, look what California's going through right now. That's a kind of a type of judgment right now that California's going through. It will drop to a state level, so to speak. But
Amen.
But all these leaders right now are under judgment. So you're going to see probably one of the biggest turnovers in American history on these midterms that are coming up right now, on a state level, local level, whatever the case may be. If you're in the army of God, you're called to be a judge, a senator, congressman, or woman at the local, state, or federal levels. You need to be ready to take your place because there's fixing to be a ton of job openings.
Amen. So, yes.
What I wanted to comment real quick was, I like the doom and gloom analogy. I agree with that, whether it be on football terms or in faith terms. But in the crowd that I run with on Sunday morning, be it good or bad or whatever, I don't sense a doom and gloom crowd. I don't know what I sense. I just sense a non-involvement crowd. I sense a crowd that kind of like Sunday, I don't sense a lot of doom and gloom. It's more, I just kind of like Sunday, I go there and then I go home. So, you know, I agree with the doom and gloom concept, your thinking and the teaching on that today. I think it kills the desire to fight. But in my church, I don't sense doom and gloom. I sense, I hate to use the word
apathy.
Yeah, can I jump in?
Apathy. Yes, Jared.
It's Sunday and let's go to Wendy's and get a hamburger.
Right.
Well, let's go watch the Buckeyes. See who gets in the playoffs. Yeah, Jared.
Well, Roger, I went to church this Sunday to a four-walled church, and I sense people with a brain the size of a sheep's brain. That's what I sense. All right, they're sheeple, man. They're sheeple. They've been trained to not think. You could walk up to them and you could tell them, hey, people in government are drinking children's blood in sacrifice. And they'd look at you and just, wow, that's too bad. Anyway, hymn number 463. So
You're right, Jared. And then I watch this, you know. I watch these tax cuts are coming, right? And they say we have to pay for the tax cuts. Now, folks, we certainly realize the government couldn't care less about money. Money doesn't mean anything at all to the government. They don't care if it's another $1 trillion added in debt. They don't care about it, see? And most of us are so stupid that we don't understand and see what's going on with the whole taxation thing just being about control and who has control. It doesn't have anything to do with whether we just found out that $7 trillion or $21 trillion is unaccountable. They don't even know where it is, right? It's all a big facade. And because we're intermingled, we're the clay intermingled into this world, we are so, Roger, those people are so tied up into the world that they can't see beyond what's going to happen that afternoon. That's what I think Jared is alluding to, the ignorance, the apathy, all is melting. Because listen, baby, they ain't got no frequency. They ain't got no tuner. They don't have any Holy Spirit. So therefore, the things of the world, the frequency of the world is what's impacting their lives.
You've got many groups of people out there. You've got the apathetic. You've got some that are the doom and gloomers. And then you've got some with the escapism mentality. So you've got all kinds of groups of people out there. But this is the part about being indoctrinated that has killed the church, basically, so to speak. And it's the people that are leaving the church, it's the people that are the remnant, the army of God, the remnant, that are making the difference right now. These are the people that are getting off their behinds and on the front lines right now. They're the ones that are doing the work right now. They're Amen. The ones that are turning things around right now. And that's what it's going to take, basically.
Amen. Hey, Jared, let's go to Revelation 22 just before I forget about it, because I think it's important. And again, it's another words have meaning. Words have meaning. I was watching the Cleveland Browns yesterday. It doesn't matter to you guys, but Josh Gordon's come back. He hadn't played in 2 years because of drugs or whatever. And he came back, and man, I kept hearing over and over, people said, man, he looks quick. Boy, he looks quick. What does quick mean? What does quick mean? Quick isn't fast. Quick means what? Quick. Change, quick, quick, quick. It happens quick. And I'm in Revelation 22, it says, 22 verse 7. Stay with me here a second. I'm going to try to connect a dot for you. I'm going to connect a dot. John's writing verse 22, 7. It says, behold, I come quickly. That doesn't mean fast. That doesn't mean soon. It means when this transition takes place, bang! Doesn't it say in a twinkling of an eye? Boom! It's going to be quick, quick. But I think we have to continue on down in verse 10 real quickly. And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. And he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly. In other words, there ain't going to be a whole lot of warning. Some of this stuff is happening. So it's like an earthquake. There's no warning for an earthquake. It happens quickly. And then it's over. And see, I think we have taken the word quickly and we have made it soon. And I don't think that's what it means. And because we think soon, I'm going to tell you, man, there's been a lot of things happening in my life that happened quickly. I had no idea it was coming. It happened quickly. So as we play out our eschatology, I think it's important for us to see that these sudden changes, oh my goodness, that's what makes this effective. Quickly, things moving quickly, passing the ball quickly, tackling quickly, blitzing quickly, quickly. Not soon. Those are not the same thing. What do you think, Mark?
Well, you know, Jerry, go back to verse 7, if you would, buddy. It says right there, behold, I come quickly, blessed is he that keepeth the saying of the prophecy book. Now, let me tell you something about prophecy, guys. You want to start an argument? Start talking about the book of Revelations over lunch. Because everybody's got a different opinion about the book of Revelations. Everybody's got a different interpretation. Now, let me tell you something about prophecy. I've gotten myself in trouble. When I wrote the Trump prophecy, I thought it was for 2012. It wasn't. It was for 2016. Mm. But the point being is, in that bottom of that prophecy, the very last line of that prophecy, the Lord wrote, Obama would try to go for a third term. Now, I've been blasted for that, because when that didn't come to pass, everybody was blasting me. Oh, he can't do that. It's against the Constitution. You know, you have to be careful with prophecy, because a lot of times we misinterpret. We think it means one thing, but it means something different. Now we're seeing the third term play out, because he's 2 miles from the White House. He's got a shadow government. He's trying to undermine Trump and take over. So we're seeing the third term begin to take out. So it wasn't what we thought it was. So this is where we have to be careful when it says the prophecy of this book. I was at lunch one day. Well, I'm not going to mention names. These are some very prominent ministers, okay? The book of Revelations came up, and boom, there it was. There come the arguments. No, that's not what this means. This is what that means. This is the timeline. Yeah. Look, God does not go by any man's timeline, period. God has his own timeline.
Yeah. And you know what, Mark? Gives me great satisfaction to know that he moves quickly. That when he moves, he moves, man. But it ain't some long, drawn out thing. Boom, it happened. I take great peace in that. See.
Soon, quickly, I think we could replace the word soon after.
Yeah, soon after. Okay. Quick, yes.
You know, as far as Obama going for a third term, what would happen if Obama all of a sudden decides he's really a woman and he does the transgender thing and society and everything accepts him as being a new person, does he get a new crack at the White
House? Wow. Oh, that'd be quickly.
No,
that'd be for sure.
He gets to be the UN general.
Hey, I might be mistaken, but didn't his wife do that already?
Hey, Mark, what's your take on all this stuff about Obama? I mean, it's kind of off target. What's your take on that, man?
As far as what?
Obama being a homo and Michelle being a tranny. You know, that's what. What's your take on
that? The tranny part, I cannot confirm. The homo part, I can confirm because I do have a source that's very close. I'm not going to say who it is. I don't want to divulge sources.
Yeah, sure.
But he was. That's why they could not find him the night of Benghazi. He was somewhere with someone outside of a hotel room.
I've warned all of you of this before. Hear me, please hear me. We cannot understand the depth of depravity possible for someone who is not born again of the Spirit of God. We look at these things. Oh, that couldn't be. That couldn't be. That could. I'm telling you, man. I know what I could be unrestrained by the Holy Spirit, what I could be if I had power and money and protection and security, what I could be. If I knew, what would you be today if you knew you could get away with it? What would you do? What would restrain you today if you knew you could get away with it and you didn't have the Holy Spirit of God? So in my mind, anything that we see going on is possible, baby. Anything is possible. And, this happens to be the times in which we live. Somebody else want to jump in here? Come on, everybody. Two cents is worth two cents.
What would we be without restraint by morality? What would we be? Well, look at Congress. That's what we would be. Look at the list of offenses that group has accumulated.
Yeah, Mark. So think about this. So we look at them. They're paying off all these women on these sexual allegations. Think about it. If everything you did wrong, somebody else paid your fine. I'd be a great life with it. Somebody else gonna pay my fine. Yeah, I'm guilty, but they'll pay my fine. They'll keep it secret. That's what we're dealing with, right? The depth of depravity of the heart of an unregenerated man is a dangerous.
You've got to be careful on this tack, Coach, because Jesus paid the fine. And this is where a lot of the church has got it wrong, I think. Jesus paid the fine for the world. And for those of us, all of us were in the world at one time. And Jesus paid that fine. Those crimes, those sins have been paid for. But Jesus in Hebrews, he ain't going to pay the fine again for people. And
yeah,
once you become a part of the family of God, you're a new people. Jesus' death on the cross does not cover your sins today, tomorrow, and next week. Jesus was very clear. And whenever we get into the, you know, a discussion about Jesus paid the price on the cross, and you just said about wouldn't it be great if people could pay your fine for you? Well, yeah, it is great. But you know what? That's the fine of what was owed in the past. What is owed now, Jesus has a new way of taking care of it. And all you got to do is read about it. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 24, you know, I mean, Matthew chapter 18, it's all there and it's very clear, but it is a taboo subject in churches. You will get yourself beat up. You'll get a bloody nose and a sore spot on your butt where they kick you out if you try to talk about this in a quote church.
Yeah, I got a question, Larry, and maybe y'all can help. Did Jesus pay for the sins for the people that he already knew would not be saved during the end? If we're having the book of life in the end.
There's a simple answer.
Yeah.
The Bible says Jesus' death on the cross paid for the sins of the world. Jesus said those who claim God as their father have a different way to take care of their sins. And it's very simple. God is either your father or he's not. If you were in the world, and you come and accepted what Jesus did for those sins, you now have the opportunity to become a child of God. When you become a child of God, there's a new way to take care of your sins.
Mm-hmm. But he knew that in the beginning when he paid the price. And for the others, he didn't pay the price for because he knew they wouldn't.
Well, I don't understand his knowledge of knowing who was going to accept him and who didn't accept him. But he did pay the price for everyone.
All who will, whosoever. Hey, we're down to 6 minutes. Hey, Mark, come on, man. Let's tie this into a bow here, brother. What's this look like, brother? Where are we going here? I'm not asking you to foretell the future for us. What's going on, Mark?
Well, I think what you're seeing right now is, again, we're in this demolition phase of remodeling right now for the United States. Now, there's a whole World War II component to this. I think we talked about this on the last program I was on, is that, you know, England was the hub by which the D-Day invasion was launched. Well, now America will be the hub by which the end-time harvest will be launched. So America's going to prosper like never before. Now, does that mean that we're not going to have issues? Of course we're going to have issues. We're always going to have issues. We've always had fires, earthquakes, hurricanes. We're going to continue to have these things, shootings, stuff like that. But as a whole, look at what Donald Trump's doing right now as a whole. I mean, you know, the Trump prophecy talked about that America would begin to prosper. You know, look, I wrote one called America, America. America would begin to prosper like never before, and it would be the end time hub. So you're seeing that taking place, the stock market, jobs, manufacturing is all coming back. He's doing everything he said he would do. The Trump prophecy talked about he would be a man of his word. So far, he has kept his word. Now, what's holding him back is Congress. But Congress is about to get cleaned out, whether it's by voting or by indictment. They're going to get cleaned out. So, and I'm not so.
So, Mark, you're saying just so that I understand this then, Mark, you're saying that America is going to be restored not because America is good, but because of the role America is going to play in the end time harvest. That God needs America for the end time harvest.
Right, exactly. And the judgment right now that's on America is not on America. It's on the systems. It's on the church. It's on the leadership, not only of the church, but also the leadership of the country. Look, you cannot hold a country accountable for something they didn't know that was even going on, Coach. How can you do that? You know what I mean? We didn't even know a lot of this stuff was going on. Now it's all beginning to come out. Now people are starting to get an eyeful. So they acted upon it on November 8th. But Remnant acted upon it. Lord, forgive us. You know, we're repenting on behalf of the land and the people. So you're seeing all these things turn around now, right now. And again, if God, how long did it take God to get rid of Sodom and Gomorrah, Coach? 30 seconds?
Yeah.
You know, and I keep hearing, oh, Sodom and Gomorrah is coming to America. Give me a break. If it was going to be Sodom and Gomorrah, he would have allowed Hillary Clinton in. It would have been over with.
Yeah, but Mark, how do you respond to my fine-feathered religious friends? You say, how can you think that God can use an unrighteous man, an adulterer, a pussy grabber? How can God use a man like that?
Well, look at David. He was an adulterer. He had a man killed. Moses, the most powerful prophet on the earth, murdered a guy, killed a guy. But God still used him. We're imperfect people. You know, look at me. I'm not perfect. I'm just an ordinary guy. You know, but God's using me in this capacity, in whatever capacity he wants to use me in. He's using you in whatever capacity he wants to use in. So, I mean, you know, I tell people, you know, oh, he calls names. You know, he's rude. He's crude. Well, read your Bible. Jesus called people names. He called them hypocrites. Call them brood of vipers. You know, so, I mean, again, God can use anybody he wants to use. He can use most evil person on earth to do good if he wants to.
And for especially when we're in a war. Yeah, Roger?
Quick question. This is a serious question. What should the batting average be of a person who says he has a prophetic word?
Huh.
What?
I suppose 1,000%, I guess. I don't know.
Well, I believe in a prophetic word. I'm not opposed to that. But we can go back to Hal Lindsey and come all the way through. And I think as a Bible-believing Christian, we have a responsibility to discern. Now, I've listened to Mark before. I like what he says. However, there is a responsibility as a believer to handle prophetic word people who are wrong continually. How do you handle them? What should their batting average be? Should we expect them to be right all the time? I don't have the answer, and I'm not challenging anybody.
So Roger, what Roger's saying is, everybody's, it's not an attack on you. We hear all these people that are out there giving words. Roger's saying, how do we know who the heck to believe?
Right. And, you know, and that was the whole thing, because during the election, you had prophetic words going from one end of the spectrum to the other and everywhere in between, and you still have it going on, and nobody knows who to believe. You know, I don't know of anybody that's really flowing at 100% accuracy on the earth right now. I mean, you know, Samuel, the Lord said that he let none of his words fall to the ground. So, I mean, as far as that is concerned, I don't know, honestly. You know, it's, the Bible says that the word of the prophet is subject to the prophets.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it takes another prophet, I think, to correct or bring in line another prophet.
Or Mark, what is in the book of Acts? What was in the book of the Acts? The guy stand up and says, listen, if this be of God, we're not going to stop it. Huh? And if it isn't of God, it ain't going to stand. And that's kind of kind of where it is. And I don't think any of us, I never, ever, from my own standpoint, say, thus saith the Lord. I don't know, because the Lord's able to do whatever the Lord's going to do. Yeah, Larry?
You're talking about Gamaliel said, you know, told his fellow people in the religious leadership, if it's of God, we can't stop it. And if it's not of God, it'll fall out of itself.
Right.
Look at this statement. Look at who spoke this statement. This is an unsaved, ungodly man. This is a man who did not accept Jesus. And the church has taken his words and they have used it to kill ministries that could have been God ordained. They've used Gamaliel's advice to kill that ministry. And Gamaliel's advice when it comes to things of God is totally illogical.
Well, the church has got a history of murdering the prophets. They've run the prophets out of the church. You know, so, I mean, again, I don't know if anybody that's running at 100% accuracy. I mean, again, you just – and here's the other thing, too. We live in this microwave society. When you give a prophetic word, if that prophetic word doesn't come to pass within 24 hours, you're a false prophet. That's the first words out of their mouth. You're a false prophet. It didn't come to pass, or it didn't come to pass the way they thought it did, kind of like the Obama thing that I was talking about earlier. You know, so – again, you've got to be careful because, I mean, there's still some prophecies in the Bible that haven't come to pass 2,000 years ago, but I don't hear them calling them false prophets.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Brother.
Hey, listen, here's what I do, man. I say what I believe the Lord's told me, and I'd never say this is written in stone. I throw it out there, and I let people just figure out through the Holy Spirit, let the Holy Spirit guide us down to truth and to all truth. Hey, folks, we're out of time. Mark, thanks for getting up early today, man. We got to do this with you more often. I love your spirit. I love your attitude. Let's stand up and push back. Let's occupy till he returns. And I just thank you for all that that you've done to enlighten, really, America, man. Taking a guy, an old fireman, for heaven's sake, yelling fire in a theater, trying to wake America up.
Well, thanks for having me.
Thanks for being
with
us this morning, Mark.
Honor to be on, bud.
All right, buddy. God bless you, folks. We'll see you tomorrow. Mark Trump tomorrow. You don't want to miss that either. See you then.